Well, probably this evening you may want to turn to the book of Acts, and chapter 13 would be probably the main spot that we would start off with, although you might find me checking out chapter 11, 23 also at the same as we get going here. You have noted, or will note again perhaps, that I spring off of Titus in many areas, and there is a phrase there in Titus chapter 2:11 that says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And I want to look into this idea of the grace of God that brings salvation, and it certainly has appeared. For if we were to look in Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 40, we would see that this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The child grew and waxed strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And as we see here, this is the grace of God directly comes, and in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the picture of salvation that has come to us. In chapter 11 of Acts, in verse 23, it tells us there, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, here we see that the effect of the grace of God, in that they had apparently had some changes in their life, and he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, as we see here, this change that is appearing here, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of it isn't something that is to be lightly taken. They are to cleave unto the Lord, and he is the one who is the source of their salvation. Now I'd like to go on to chapter 13, which is our main spot here, and going down to verse 38. Acts 13:38, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man was preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Notice that this forgiveness of sins is very important, and it is something that other religions don't deal with in any strong effects. Many of them ignore it altogether. And yet every man, every woman knows that he comes short of perfection. She comes short of perfection, that this is a very serious matter that's in their lives. And one of the things I think that when we see people who are involved in suicide or involved in various situations of self-deprecation, that the forgiveness of sins is something that they don't grasp the full provision of it that is coming through our Lord Jesus Christ, and so the forgiveness of sins is related to our salvation. Verse 39, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." So in our Lord Jesus Christ, we find that justification is a key area. And the reason that the forgiveness of sins is so important is because we can't deal with it ourselves. We cannot solve the problem of sin by how much money we have, how much effort we make. This just isn't there. We know partly by experience, because it depends on how old you were when you received Christ as your Savior, but it's easy enough to know you can do all kinds of things, but being made just is something that you can't do on your own. just comes from another, to be made just comes from another source. So by him, all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And we have, it appears to be that we have a lot of people who think that if they just keep the law of Moses, somehow this will make them just. But you see, this is a work that we do, and it's not something that gives us any grace. It's required of us to be righteous, if that's the way you want to look at it. Verse 40, beware therefore, lest that which come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now, in this portion here, especially verse 41, we find that it's talking about you despisers and wonder and perish. Now, the despisers is one that thinks against that which is provided by the requirements of God. It's one who thinks against the provisions of God. And yet, when they hear the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, they stand in wonder what this all means. I wonder what this is about. I wonder why. So they may search out some of these things, but they examine it falsely in such a manner whereby they come to wrong conclusions. And so it says, behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. And of course, when we're talking about being perished, it is something which is destroyed. And so this seems to be a pretty good little description right here of the subject of reprobate, which Pastor's been talking about, cast away, that which is unworthy. And so we're seeing that there are people that the means by which we are justified, it is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works which we do or by the law of Moses or something else. And so, behold, ye despisers, wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And we see this being to a broader extent in these days than it was even 30 or 50 years ago, where you would speak concerning the salvation of God. And they might listen. They might say, oh, I want to hear more. I'm interested in this. And yet it appears that they shall in no wise believe today, way too many, and though a man declare it unto you. Now, how else are they going to find out except there's a person who declares it unto them? And so here we have situation Pastor's also been teaching us that we need to declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there may be some who won't believe. And the only way they're going to really believe or find out is through the actions of man, whether we take the written word to them, whether we preach to them, we speak to them, we witness to them in some way or another, they don't seem to want to believe. But the grace of God does provide salvation. And so this is, that brings salvation to mankind. And perhaps as it speaks in another place in the scriptures that these days which shall be near the end shall be as the days of Noah. I'm wondering, how discouraged Noah could have been in that he builds his marvelous vast craft and, only his family were the ones who entered into it, other than the creatures that God made. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, and so they were preaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. So apparently, in the day of of this illustration, then we see that there were a number of people who did hear the gospel, and they were hearing what was involved here, and they were interested. And so they did seek this would be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who were the primary speakers and the source of the information that they were receiving from them, Paul and Barnabas. And many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, how is it that we can know someone else might have received the grace of God, which leads unto salvation, except that they would continue in that which they have heard? It's very difficult for me to walk up to someone and they can speak all of the right words. They can even be nice to me during the time of the confrontation. And I would say, maybe they're saved. Maybe they're a people who are truly transformed by the salvation of God. But one of the things that's involved here has to do with their faithfulness, persuade them to continue in the grace of God. And this would have to do with the knowledge of the salvation which has appeared unto all men. Do they hear it and rejoice for a moment, but not really have it travel, as they say, from the head to the heart? Or is this something that is truly ingrained in them? Is there a transformation in their heart that is eternal? And so this is the admonition to those who had been listening. They wanted to. They were very, very impressed, and presumably maybe they were saved, but they were told to continue in the grace of God. And so then we find in verse 44 that the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So this is the description again of the reprobate that Pastor was talking about, in that seeing you put it from you, you've considered the word of God as being reprobate in your actions toward it. You have cast it away. You've considered it as unworthy, invaluable, not valuable. And so you just do it like you do all the rest of the trash ones. And in Applewald, they pick up the garbage on Monday morning. So we put out the can at night. All the stuff that is reprobate, considered unworthy, we throw into the can. And sometime by noon or so the next day, we have a nice clean can, and then put it back in the garage. And so this is a situation whereby the grace of God seemed to come among these people where Paul was with them, and Barnabas, but there were some who came and believed, it appears, and they were told to remain faithful to that. And then there were those who despised it and definitely threw it away, cast away as invaluable, lacking of value. And so this is something that we have to examine our own souls with regard to. How is it that we treat the Word of God? How is it that we treat the salvation that God has given to us? Is there a reason to follow it, or is there, considering that our Creator has extended considerable from our perspective at least, effort to provide that we might have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by believing we might be new creatures, or are we a people who say, it's just no different than another book, like the Bible. It's just another book. In fact, now it's becoming illegal to have this book in locations in our country, and you can lose your job over it. You can actually be arrested now in these days because of having it in certain locations, to use it in many situations. They consider it as being useless to be cast off, and they make every effort to get rid of its presence. Now, in chapter 14 of Acts, we go down to verse 26. And this is a situation where they were at Antioch. This was when they were ordaining elders in every church in verse 23. And then they passed on and headed back towards home. And by the time we get down to verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And here we find that that the grace of God is related to work. And it's related to work which needs to be done. They were responsible to carry out, and we find that they were faithful in this fulfilling of that work. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together at Antioch, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. So here we see that they were not alone in their travels. They were not alone in their goings. And quite frankly, you aren't alone either. Because when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the Spirit of God which comes and indwells you. In Colossians it talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not alone. And so there is going along with, God hath done with them, and here I think that hath done, the word done speaks of a work that has taken place. There's an activity, an action that's taken place. God hath done with them how they had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so here we see the grace of God is related to the opening of the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so the grace of God definitely is brings salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. And so we see the effect of the grace of God, which is bringing salvation. And when we're talking about to all men, we're beginning to see the breadth of this all men as they go from place to place to place. Chapter 13, 14, 15, and especially 13, 14, it talks about where they have been. They went to what we would call Greece today. Not Greece, but to Turkey, the land of Turkey today, where many of the early churches were formed. And it was not an easy task, but how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And we saw that in chapter 11, chapter 13, verse 43 in that area. Okay, let's go to chapter 20, just for a brief look. Verse 24, Acts chapter 20. Now, it begins here and it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify, what is that? The gospel, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So here we see that the grace of God is related to the gospel. It is the gospel which is put out, which is related to the salvation that appears unto all men through their ministries. And he received this of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, verse 25, I know that you all, that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And so he's indicating, we're toward the end of the book of Acts, he's indicating that that perhaps his time, his life is coming perhaps to a short. He doesn't know perhaps all the detail, but this is coming. He understands things ahead aren't going to be easy. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So we're going from verse 24 where it talks about to testify the gospel of the grace of God and have not shunned to declare, in verse 27, have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And it's important that we understand that there is a beginning and there's a continuing clear to the end of knowledge that's related to what God has given to us, that we need to be a people who grasp the content of all that's here and put it forward. This is one of the reasons that in this day and age, we as individuals have much of this same responsibility, not only to testify, but also that we need to be passing this on. And as much as we have strength today, we need to be passing this on. And verse 28 of Acts 20, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, the protection, one of the main protections for the grievous wolves that would enter in is the knowledge of the whole counsel of God. That if we don't have the knowledge of the scriptures, and we don't personally have a grasp of it, then people can throw things at us, and we won't have the ability to say, wait a minute, hold on a second, there's a problem here. What this individual is saying to me doesn't match up with what I've learned from the Word of God. I need to know that there is a difference. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody is going to be able to go to Hezekiah 14:2 and absolutely prove everything that comes down the road. But you need to have read the scriptures, be sufficiently familiar with it so that if someone says something that contradicts the Word of God, you can say, that's wrong. There's a problem here. And you should be able to then have the skills of Bible study whereby you can go and start searching this out. And whether it's a few minutes or a few days, you should be able to search this out and say, here's where the problem is, and this is where the interpretation is wrong, or this is where someone is trying to insert something in the place of God's declared will, which is in the Word of God. And so we are in this day where there are grievous wolves entering in, wanting to enter in to the flocks, which are the believers of Jesus Christ who would live by faith. And we need to be able to know the difference between that which is in the Word of God itself and that which other people want to propose, which is in contradiction to it. Verse 30, Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, I can be most grateful that Pastor's been here since, what, about 1980? Doing the same thing. And so there's been a lot of things that have come our way and hopefully have been repelled, but he has not ceased to warn everyone night and day, and I have every reason to believe that the tears have been there too. Chapter 20, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So notice the import of this particular verse 32. He commends them to God and to the word of his grace. So what do we have available to us today? We have our Bibles. We have our scriptures. And we have to take this and realize that God has been most gracious to give to us this which we can go to and search out and find out for our own. So we're commended to this. And this is able to build you up. The more we spend time in it, the more we shall be built up. And not only that, but it is through the word of God that we obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. Now this is a very important word here. An inheritance is that which is provided to us of all of the blessings of one who went before, and that would be our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, to give us an inheritance. Not only that, but that we might also have this to carry with us and to continue with, given us an inheritance among them which are the sanctified. Now, the sanctified are those who are the righteous. They're the pure ones. They're the ones who God has placed in his protection. And now, because of the word of God and because of the grace of God providing to us, bringing us salvation, then we also have this inheritance to be placed with them. And that's a marvelous provision and a very kind thing that we might be able to enjoy. And so here we have the grace of God, which is able to build you up, put us in the word of grace and build us up and to give us an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we might enter into the joys and the privileges that are ours, that we might see the effect of the grace of God, which has to do with salvation. This salvation which provides to us an inheritance that we might be among those who are the sanctified. A precious, precious privilege. For without that, we would be burdened down, unjustified, unable to deal with the sin that's in our lives. But because of the word of God, we might find that the sin which would beset us may be dealt with in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might have an inheritance to be among those who are the sanctified. Thank you for this hope and this promise which is ours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.